The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. In Jesus' name, amen. Saint Peter today calls Jesus the living stone. In fact, he is the precious cornerstone upon which we, as Christians, living stones, solely depend and are built into a spiritual house, the church. As you know, stones or huge rocks, even boulders, can be used in at least two ways, as this text suggests. Stones can either be used to destroy or crush, or they can be used to strengthen and fortify. When I was a pastor in Aspen, Colorado, I'll never quite forget the story of one family who was driving back from Denver from a hockey trip, only to have a huge boulder fall right down in front of them through Glenwood Canyon. And the crushing power of that rock literally ripped the vehicle in half, killing the mother and the sons instantly, but leaving the father nearly unscathed. Huge rocks can crush. But stones can also be beneficial. Today, some buildings use rocks or stone, but not usually because it's too expensive. Sometimes they only place rock on the outside of buildings as a facade. However, many years ago, buildings were made completely out of stone. And many times they built the building around one huge stone, leaning as if it were upon the cornerstone, to give it added strength. Just look at many of the ancient buildings and structures, like the Parthenon in Athens, and you will see how many of these ancient structures still stand because they are built from rock. One of the most beautiful qualities to notice in our chapel may not be rock, but it's close. It's the interlocking Concordia bricks. Anyone who drives by our campus will see the west wall of our chapel with the interlocking brick. However, anchored into this east wall of brick is the cross, which is the focal point of our faith, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Perhaps this wall illustrates best what St. Peter is addressing today in how he describes the church. The church is not a building, but people, mortared together by faith, fixed on the cross of Christ, lifting it high for all to see. Each one of us is like one of those bricks on that wall. And just as they are fitted together with mortar, so does each member of the church. You, me, and a countless host of others. And like living stones, we fit together and build upon Jesus Christ, the precious cornerstone. What joy is ours to know that we are God's chosen, blessed, and holy loved children through Jesus Christ. We are built on Christ, and by His grace we live in Him and for Him. But Jesus is not precious to everybody. As I said earlier, rocks can be used negatively to crush. When we look at the cross, we often think of it in its positive terms, because it reminds us of Jesus' love for us. Yet for many people, it is just the opposite. It is quite negative. The cross offends them. That's because the message of the cross divides. Always has, always will. Jesus was the stone rejected, as St. Peter states. In fact, Jesus' whole life was marked by rejection from the very beginning. Due to rejection, Mary gave birth to Jesus, not in the comforts of an inn, but in a rough stable. Due to rejection, Jesus had to be raised on the outskirts of Judaism, in Nazareth, in Galilee, not in Jerusalem. Due to rejection, the Jewish leaders tried to rid Jesus from teaching in Jerusalem. And then finally, after they could stand him no longer, they convicted him and crucified him. In so doing, they thought they got rid of this bad rock for good. And just as most people in the day of Jesus rejected him, the same is true today. Jesus is a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. People, by God's grace, either receive Jesus by faith or they completely reject him. There is no sitting on the fence with Jesus. You're either for him or against him. There's no middle ground. You either love his word or hate it. And unbelievers are repulsed by the word of God, nauseated by it, and even hardened by it. And that fact sheds a whole new light on your future work for many of you as you serve as pastors in the church. When you proclaim the truth and the love of Christ, it will not always be well received. In fact, the closer you get to the truth, the more dividing it is. The apostles and the prophets proclaimed the truth and believed the truth despite being rejected by the world. And many of them died for their proclamation as well. But this is as Jesus said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." Some of the people you will preach to and teach will reject you and your words. Some will try to drive you away from your ministry. However, they do this not because of you, but because of Christ. But what St. Peter wonderfully assures us of here is this. Although sinful man naturally rejects Christ, he is still the choice one, the very precious one to God the Father. When the Jews thought they had crushed Christ, just the opposite happened. He became the cornerstone upon which the entire church is built and sustained. The Heavenly Father knew that the Son would be rejected and killed, but for a purpose: to give the forgiveness of sins to all people. And this is illustrated best, perhaps, when the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom at Christ's death. That opened access for us. Through Jesus' blood, we now have open and direct access to our Father in heaven. And as our great high priest, he has opened paradise for us, so that we as living stones, and not only as living stones, but as priests, now have the privilege to draw near to the very presence of God for his forgiveness. That is why Jesus is called the precious cornerstone, because we lean upon him for forgiveness and life. Life now, and especially after we die. This is especially true for us in our seminary community. And for someone like Laura Jones, if any of you seminarians know Brian or have had the privilege of knowing Laura before she died, then you would have seen someone clinging to her rock of refuge and strength. Jesus was her precious cornerstone. And in spite of her numerous health problems, she never lost sight of that fact, that her Lord was with her and near her all the time. She affirmed with all certainty the promises of God at every bedside visit. And she knew that Jesus had died and rose for her. In fact, in my last visit with her, the last words I shared with her were those words I began today's sermon with from Psalm 18. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And Tom Rhodes, a friend of Brian, shared these words in summarizing this news, and he stated this: "We are grateful to God for Laura's strong faith in her rock and redeemer, Jesus Christ. And we have the comfort of knowing she is in his presence, free from all fears and pain." Like Laura, you and I were chosen and set apart to be part of the spiritual house through those waters of holy baptism. Through water and the Word, we became living stones, precious to God our Father, because we are built and mortared upon the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And through baptism, we have moved out of death and into life. And we cling to Jesus because he is our only escape from sin and death. We are God's house of living stones. And unlike those who do not believe in Christ and stumble at the thought of his name and are crushed by his word, we believe in Christ, we confess Christ, and are built on him and strengthened to live for him. As you leave chapel today, take one more glance at this east wall, because there you see what the church is all about and your place within it. The one who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light has a real purpose for you. May God bless each of us as we declare the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.